This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It is the top of the hour, America. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. And with all that is happening in our country domestically, lots to talk about there. There is something rather tragic that is taking place right now in Iraq. We may be looking at a civil war sooner than you think between Sunni Kurds and the Iraqi government forces, and Assyrians are caught in the middle. And the one who knows right there, who has been there many times at the ground floor level, is my good friend, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Retired Sergeant Sangari, who is the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement and founder of the United Assyrian Appeal. Sergeant, it's always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good, Bill. It's good to be here again.
Well, this is important, Sargis. I mean, this is one of those things that's happening right now that with, you know, there's so many things that are going on around the world, but this is being greatly underreported. What is going on?
What's going on is that we knew that this fight was going to happen. If anybody's read the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, in 2015, March of 2015, we wrote an article predicting what's happening today, 2 years later. I highly encourage people, if they get a chance, to go and read the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. And basically what happened was we knew that eventually this fight was going to take place. The Kurds wanted to establish a Kurdistan, which means they need to have natural resources to be able to sustain that nation. And in this case, Kirkuk and the Assyrian and Plain oil fields would be very important for them. One of the things that happened, best thing that happened to the Kurdish regional government was the fact that ISIS attacked in 2014. And when ISIS attacked, they attacked the strategic locations of Assyrian Nineveh Plain and Kirkuk, which demographically changed everything. It caused Assyrian genocide, Yazidis fleeing from the area. It caused the Iraqi army folding back from Kirkuk. And that gap, what happened was the fact that the Kurdish regional government in Peshmerga, under the support of the coalition forces, were able to move in and take those territories. So the current fight now is that the Iraqi government had asked the Peshmerga to abandon the facilities that belong to the government, to include the K-1 army camp in Kirkuk, to be able to give up the airport for Kirkuk, which is an internationally recognized beacon. All air traffic that goes into Iraq and also in the north, and also to be able to give up those oil fields, natural resources that Baghdad needs to be able to use. Until now, the Kurds were using the time that ISIS was operating to sell oil without sharing any of those resources with Baghdad itself and profiting from it. So they gave them 24 hours. The Kurds, after the referendum, did not want to evacuate, and then eventually after initial agreement was struck, it was broken, and the Iraqi military moved in, took over the airfield, took over the army camps, took over the oil fields, and has pretty much taken over all of Kirkuk currently.
Wow. So what are we looking at here? I mean, what is the future of the KRG, the Kurdistan Regional Government, then?
The KRG is done. It was buried at the hands of Barzani. If you think about it, Barzani, going back to 1991, the international community gave support to the Kurds, empowered them, allowed them to expand their footprint, gave them weapons, gave them economic freedoms. Every time a international leadership went in to bat that, they always traveled to Kurdistan and gave their respects to Barzani, as he was almost a nation de facto state. And what he did with one referendum, he buried his entire nation. And now he is about to lose KRG, and it has been split amongst two lines, PUK that wants to work with the Iraqi government, and the KDP, who is now just nothing more than Barzani front.
Well, 10 seconds left, Sargas. Civil war next?
Possible if they do not reach an agreement.
Sargas Sangari, I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, Sargas.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there for you. Dr. Ann Pierce joins us now, contributor to the Washington Times, Ricochet.com, Real Clear Politics, the Washington Examiner, author of A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. Dr. Pierce, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here. We just got a phone with Sergeant Sangari taking a look at what's going on in Kurdistan. And this is something that the West has not, either they're ignoring or they just haven't heard about yet. But, boy, this is not looking good here. But it is something that we knew that as far as the Kurds were concerned, that they had to reconcile that area one way or another. I think years ago, it was Joe Biden that had suggested that maybe we'd end up with three countries out of Iraq, but it seems like the leadership is not about to stand up. It's going to be a united Iraq. It's not going to be bifurcated.
Yeah, we have so many different moving parts in Iraq, and obviously, if you look at the headlines, you think that our only problem is defeating ISIS, but no. We, for one thing, we have the Iranian Guard Corps and Iranian militias over there. We have Iranian intelligence tightly tied with the Iranian government, and we have even Americans on the ground over there downplaying that. We have, as you said, the Kurds, a major group now, newly emboldened. And we have to, if we're going to take the long game, understand that part of the reason the Kurds are emboldened is that when the United States formed the so-called democratic coalition over there in Syria and Iraq, they placed the Kurds in the predominant position in that coalition. I always thought that we should instead have placed the Free Syria Army, the predominantly democratic anti-Assad pre-Syria army, the original group that fought Assad wanting a better way of life and some basic freedoms. I always thought that we should have put them in the dominant position, and I was always concerned about putting the Kurds in the dominant position in our anti-ISIS coalition because they are such a divisive force. So, you know, you look at Iraq and Syria, and it's where do you begin? You have, as I said, Iran, the Kurds, Hezbollah, Russia, everyone fighting for influence and territory, and basically Russia and Iran now finally turning their attention to fighting ISIS. Before, they weren't fighting ISIS. They just said they were. They were fighting non-ISIS rebels and attacking civilians. Well, now they are fighting ISIS because they want to beat the U.S. and other entities to the punch over there.
Exactly.
So what a mix of forces we have over there.
Yeah, and not to mention, Dr. Pierce, you still have the Sunni-Shia conflict, which is you know, the Middle East's version of the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Absolutely. And I have an article that I'm hoping is going to come out this week. I just submitted it late last night, so I'm a little tired. But it's called Still Missing the Big Picture and the Long Game in Syria. And if you wouldn't mind, I'll read one paragraph.
No, please, please.
And, to me, this is the problem. We are continuing to miss the big picture. Here I say, accepting the status quo in Syria is a bad idea, for nothing is stable in that land of suffering, and things are bound to get worse. Assad will find new ways to oppress, terrorize, and murder opponents and civilians. Exhausted Sunni moderates that we need on our side if we're to defeat Sunni Islamist terror might once and for all lose faith in the free world. Iranian Shiite proxies will gain new strongholds, and moderate Shiites will be pressed to join them. Although diminished, disparate anti-regime forces will continue to fight. So I say, let us not delude ourselves into believing that as long as we defeat ISIS, we can find some kind of equilibrium.
Yeah, like you say, there's lots of moving parts here and interest that it is like, you know, President Obama said years ago, it's like whack-a-mole. I mean, you hit one mole, it goes down, and then another mole comes up on the other side.
Yeah, it really is. And we are in this position because partly we did not, and the and largely also because the UN also did not form sound policies to begin with when the Syrian cataclysm spiraled out of control. We're seeing the same thing now with North Korea and Iran. We have to go back and try to put a Band-Aid on these wounds that are so big that you just hope that it's not too little too late.
Well, they seem rather gaping. I don't know a Band-Aid can do it.
Yeah, do you? I wasn't really...
No, I know. You're talking because you've been up all night doing this. I understand this. And I should be the last one to connect, you know, to offer any kind of correction here. But, yeah, this is... We've got gaping wounds all over the place here. So, and I know that's what you mean. So,
yeah, we have a world that is pretty much continuing to explode all over. And former Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel's own words. I mean, You just look around the world and you see atrocities and hostilities escalating, and WMD programs proliferating and nuclear threats increasing. So we really do need to get our moral and strategic priorities in order, and it would be great if the UN and our allies around the world would do the same.
Now, does the lack of certification, the recertification by Donald Trump and the administration to certify this agreement with Iran, how does that play into this mess? I mean, because potentially this could get pretty crazy. I mean, on one hand, they're talking about, this could set Iran really free and say, okay, the heck with it. We don't have to abide by this anymore, you know, full steam ahead. And then at that point, you've got nuclear proliferation on steroids.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would say is decertification doesn't mean we're leaving the deal. Decertification means that we are on record saying that the deal is not in U.S. interest. So what Trump is saying is that we will in the future end U.S. participation in the deal unless Congress and our allies deliver punitive measures for the missile program and for Iran's support of militant groups around the world, terror sponsorship and future nuclear activities. So I actually think that decertifying is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that Iran, on the one hand, you could say, gosh, if this leads to ending the nuclear deal, Iran could run rampant. On the other hand, Iran is tremendously benefiting from the deal. So Iran also has an incentive to perhaps try to show the so-called international community that it is more in line with the deal. and that it is controlling some of those nefarious activities with the missiles and terrorists more than it has in the past, so that it can keep this unbelievable cash flow that has
gotten
from this deal.
Well, we've got to go to break. Dr. Ann Pierce continues with us on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. We're coming on 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters. Starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available, comfortable interiors, and state-of-the-art air filtration systems, Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now, or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
Book Club Radio.
Today we're chatting with Mike Papantonio, leading trial lawyer and prolific author. His latest novel, Law and Vengeance, is a nonstop action-packed legal thriller. We spoke with him about the book and the real-life issues that inform and inspire his writing.
People assume that because a woman is working in a legal profession and it's supposed to be the most progressive kind of setting, that they don't feel the same type of discrimination that a woman might in other kinds of areas, but that simply is not true. As a matter of fact, as far as a trial lawyer, the role of a trial lawyer for female is often far worse in the legal profession. It's tougher for them to work through that. And so Gina Romano is kind of a reflection of that. The book talks about how difficult it is sometimes for a female trial lawyer, and she's the exception to the rule. She's made it her commitment to say there is going to be no glass ceiling, and if there is, I'm going to bust right through it.
On the heels of the critically acclaimed legal thriller, Law and Disorder, comes Law and Vengeance, the latest novel from famed trial attorney Mike Papantonio. Law and Vengeance follows the law firm of Bergman Dica Thomas, who is now in the crosshairs of a weapons manufacturer. But this is not a law firm that plays by all the rules. Based on a real case, Law and Vengeance, the riveting new legal thriller by Mike Papantonio, is available wherever books are sold.
Reminding us of what makes our country great.
They'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
You know, it's always easy to love somebody when they're lovable. It's when they're not so lovable that makes it so difficult. And that's really the true measure of your faith, isn't it? 19 minutes right now after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Dr. Ann Pierce is with us. She is the author of A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. You know, Ann, as we were just talking about with this hotbed, I mean, this is a tinderbox just ripe for some ignition to really unleash something of an unprecedented measure. I mean, you're looking already at a civil war in essence in Syria, and then you talk about a potential civil war in Iraq that could start up because, you got the Sunni-Shia dynamic, you got the Peshmerga. I mean, right now, they're pretty much just saying, hey, look, we're going to go with the rule of law. Barzani has made this choice, and we're just going to go along with this. And they allowed Iraq to come in and, you know, take over the airport. I mean, airport and, I believe, the oil fields as well. That's a real surprise to me. I just wonder, you know, as you were saying earlier, because of the infiltration of Iran into all these elements that are Iraq and everything else in the Middle East. I mean, they are doing everything they can to spread their influence and secure their footprint in the Middle East and to their own personal aims, not necessarily for the aims that would be good for, for Kurdistan.
Yeah, we just have to remember that Iran is using the cash from the Iran deal to fund terror, to fund its own Iranian Guard Corps, to sponsor militias wreaking havoc all over the Middle East, and Hezbollah, support Hezbollah and Hamas to advance regional hegemony, to keep supporting the Assad regime, and then in Iraq, to keep infiltrating the Iraqi government more and more and more. And, you know, you were talking about the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds. And what the United States needs to show to all of these groups is that we really do stand for freedom and a better way of life. And what worries me is that we continue to focus so exclusively on ISIS. I mean, back in 2015, early 2015, I wrote an article with the title Beware ISIS Strategy that Fortifies Russia, Syria, and Iran. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, we are still doing that to this day,
right,
even though we have seen the Russian air forces enter Syria on Assad's sides and Iranian militias enter Syria on Assad's side. And we've seen in Iraq, we have seen Iraq deeply embedded in the Iraqi intelligence forces and giving advice to Iraqi leaders as they go out to fight ISIS. So what so often happens is, okay, these poor people are freed from ISIS, but then they end up in the hands of these Iranian militias or under their control, and the Iranian militias are,
they're not much better
with terrorists themselves.
Right.
So I think it's so important that we remember, it's easy just to say the words Sunni and Shiite. We have to remember there are a lot of moderate Sunnis that would just long for a better way of life and to finally be out from under the thumb of all these dictators. And the same thing goes for the Shiites. We just assume that, oh, every Shiite over there is glad to have Shiite Iran in there influencing them. But we should be reaching out to moderate Shiites and moderate Sunnis and to moderate Kurds and showing them all a better path. But from what I'm hearing, for example, in Iraq, we even have our own U.S. intelligence officers kind of downplaying, Iran or the very negative side of Iranian influence over there and sort of even buying into some of the propaganda that Iran can be a so-called responsible actor over there when really all the evidence is to the contrary.
Exactly.
Michael Prejant at the Hudson Institute has been talking about that a lot and trying to get people to listen. He was in Iraq for years up on the military side and, now on the civilian side, it's really trying to get people to focus more on this problem.
It's almost like Vietnam in a sense, all over again. I mean, you would think that we would learn. And by that, I mean, you got to know who to back and who are you willing, who's the winning horse for you and the people. Are they willing to do what it takes to invest their blood, their treasure, their very lives in order to create this liberated state?
Well, I tell you what is so sad now is that the moderates, the freedom-loving people, the so-called Arab Spring movement, which was really huge, and we also underestimate that. From what I'm hearing now, they are just so exhausted. I mean, they've lost their homes. A lot of them have lost their families. They're dealing with both psychological and physical wounds. There's utter and total violence in their own neighborhoods. And whether these civilians who were originally large numbers of them, actually glad Saddam Hussein was gone, actually glad there was very glad that there was a Free Syria movement against Assad. Well, now these civilians are just exhausted. They just want a break from the nonstop violence and turmoil and really suffering that they've gone through. It's an absolute mess.
Can you imagine what they're enduring and what and for the length of time that they've been going through this? I mean, they've lost their children, family members. Their very country has been devastated. It's just, I mean, you can't even comprehend that. And here in the West, I mean, we want to help. And sometimes I think, again, I reference Vietnam only from a standpoint that, you know, there's only so much you can do unless you have, you know, like what happened in America, that you had the people that were willing to put it all on the line and do whatever it takes for as long as it takes. And that just goes to show you just how rare, you know, how rare an experience like the Great American Experiment is, number one, and the cost that's involved in order to see this through. And somehow, you know, this is why I agree with the sentiment that we ought to get away from nation building, is that, yes, you want to support democracy and liberty as you can, but you got to know, you know, the boundaries that are healthy for its own citizenry and what we represent, that, you know, we sometimes cross the line, and I think we find ourselves maybe meddling as opposed to really doing, you know, what we can do. Because, you know, at this stage of the game, especially when, as you say, there's so many moving parts and it's so chaotic, who do you know to, who can you go with? Who can you trust?
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with you on nation building, but we have to take lesser but strong measures before things spiral so out of control. Because I said, the situation in Syria and Iraq is only going to get worse now. And we keep having to play catch up once things have gotten so extreme. And the idea that we can now kind of wash our hands of it just because ISIS is retreating is naive. And,
yes,
and what we should have done back when the war in Syria and the suffering were just escalating out of control, and we saw the Assad regime with its disappearances and systematized torture and starvation seizures and barrel bombs and everything. I mean, we should have imposed very strong sanctions. Mm-hmm. We should have adopted the French proposal for a humanitarian corridor. We should have given some serious aid to vetted pro-democracy rebels. And we should have, first and foremost, stopped continuously deferring to Russian plans for that area. Those Geneva conferences were all about Russian plans, and every single one of them had the effect of buying Assad more time, usually
exactly,
just when Assad's time was running out. So again and again, I keep getting back to this idea that we should stop waiting until the threat is grave to apply extreme pressure on extreme regimes or on terrorist groups, so that we don't have to get so involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen ISIS on the run before, but it seemed like they decided to, you know, attack from a different direction, as a previous general would comment. And not necessarily that, you know, we've got them on the run, but we've got to get them on the run and keep them on the run to take them out, not to allow them to come back to fight another front. Dr. Ann Pierce has been with us, author of the book, A Perilous Path. Dr. Pierce, thank you so much for being with us.
This report is brought to you by Sodexo. Is Generation Z the most anxious generation yet? According to the 2017 University Lifestyle Survey conducted by Sodexo, current and incoming university students are more concerned about the uncertainty of their futures than previous generations. They are not only apprehensive about mounting student loan debt and other forms of financial liability, but also about securing a job after graduation and maintaining a good quality of life. The survey further shows that Generation Z has different priorities when choosing a university than past generations. Jim Jenkins, CEO, Universities East, Sodexo North America.
University universities need to highlight the best qualities of their campus atmosphere in order to appeal to prospective students. 83% of students consider a friendly campus more important than a university's reputation, and 62% consider the campus tour more influential than their parents' advice. The results of this survey will help change the way universities educate and accommodate their students now and in the future.
For more information, visit www.sodexo.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Reminding us of what makes our country great.
There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. She is Jesus. Jesus.
It's the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 27 minutes before the top of the hour. Kristen Day is with us. She is the author of the book Democrats for Life, Pro-Life Politics, and the Silenced Majority. She's the executive director of Democrats for Life of America, oversees all operations of the Washington, D.C. office. Kristen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, good to have you here. And I appreciate you coming on, because I talk to so many of my Democrat friends that have serious issues with the DNC and their hard stance against abortion. And they want to use that as a litmus test. And that has been quite bothersome. And I know that you're speaking for other Democrats that say, look at, I think we need to look at this clearly without it being a for us or against us kind of measure here.
Right, absolutely. It's been a big problem for the Democratic Party, and we've seen the results of this hardline stance for abortion, because a majority of Americans don't really celebrate or think abortion is a great thing, and they support reasonable regulation and want to see it rare. And with our party taking this hardline stance, it's hurting our numbers nationwide. So the Democratic Party is at its lowest numbers since the 1930s. We don't have control of a single legislative branch in the South. 68 of 99 state legislatures are controlled by Republicans. You know, the Republicans that have the White House, the House, and the Senate. And, you know, I don't see that changing anytime soon. This hardline position is really hurting.
Yeah, as you say, the litmus test is really, I think, demonstrated very clearly that, you know, people want to, you know, they don't want to go along with this hard line. If you're going to have this hard line litmus test, then it becomes a binary choice. And people are, you know, as you say, leaving the party. And but yet a third of you roughly are saying, look, at you want to fight on for a better Democratic Party.
Right. I think, you know, we are a very unique, we have a unique position as pro-life Democrats, and it's not an easy position to take either, because our party is telling us, you know, you cannot be pro-life in the party, but we also have the pro-life movement telling us that you can't be Democrats if you're pro-life, you know, so, you know, it's a very, very tough road and lonely road to walk, but, you know, these candidates who are running as pro-life Democrats, and they are in the legislature, you know, they should be commended and really encouraged for standing strong on these issues, because it's very difficult.
Well, outside of the party politics, what about Main Street America, you know, and how they feel about abortion? I mean, there seems to be still in our studies and reading of George Barna's research and that sort of thing, it would demonstrate even amongst believers and people that go to church are still very confused about abortion.
No, I mean, if you look at polls, I mean, when, you know, the U.S. House of Representatives just passed the 20-week ban, and it's not a radical bill at all. It's very, you know, it would bring us in line with most of Europe who bans abortion after 12 weeks. But when you look at the polls, even among pro-choice voters, they support over half support banning abortion after 20 weeks. So I think that the Democratic Party has taken on this very extreme position on this issue. And it's just it doesn't play across middle America. It doesn't play with most of the people. And it shows this hardline position is really showing. I think we'll see more of it in 2018 when I have no expectations that the U.S. Senate is going to go any more blue than it already is. In fact, I think the Republicans are going to pick up more seats in the U.S. Senate, giving them more control, and a lot of it has to do with this issue.
Exactly. Well, Kristen, what you were referring to is the Pain Capable Unborn Protection Act that was recently passed. And, it seems that if the Democratic Party, those that are leading it, Tom Perez, want to hold to a closed ear of Main Street America, they're missing out. They're missing out here, and it's unfortunate because the voices, that you represent, a third of the party, is being deafened, and that's not good for the party, and it's not good for the country.
No, not at all. I think from our perspective on the 20-week ban, you know, as Democrats, we do think that there should be support that goes along with banning abortion after 20 weeks, because we do think that, okay, so say you ban it, what happens to the woman who get the prenatal diagnosis? Mm-hmm. And for that, we think there should be more awareness and more support for perinatal hospice, which allows women to peacefully deliver the baby with support from her clergy, her friends, her family. They have funerals, you can take pictures with the baby, and it's a more peaceful way of saying goodbye to a baby who may or may not survive, rather than just not giving the baby a chance at all and saying you should have an abortion. We also support paid maternity leave I'm not talking about corporate America. We're talking about the women who get pregnant, who most of the women who seek abortion are poor and afraid that they're going to lose their job. So we're looking at ways to have paid maternity leave for these women who can go back to their jobs and be able to support their families after they have a baby, instead of feeling like they should have an abortion. And also one of the things that we had included in the Obamacare was the Pregnant Woman Support Act, which grants to states to come up with innovative ways to support women in their pregnancies rather than abortion. So, you know, those three things, I think, should go along with the 20-week ban. And we may have a better chance of passing it if we have a package of support going along with the 20-week ban in the Senate.
Well, it is a situation that, you know, there's a hard line here between, you know, between the two parties. And as I say, when it's so hard line and there is, you know, we're not getting everybody involved in the conversation, I believe it's to everybody's loss. You know, the whole idea of abortion back in 73 with Roe v. Wade, the driving force was, you know, for the exception. What happens in the case of rape or you know, a situation where a mother's life may be at risk here? And that represents probably about 1% of the abortions. So you got about 98-99% of the abortions, according to the research that I'm looking at,
right.
is a choice situation. I mean, in some cases, sadly, it's, you know, they wanted a boy, it's going to be a girl. So let's, you know, some of these issues be, you know, really challenge our morality.
Right. And also there's, you know, there's pressure from family members and also like the father of the child. You know, there was a case here in Washington where the man did not want the baby. So it was horrific. He lit his girlfriend on fire trying to kill her. You know, and it was just, you know, so we have instances like that where the men just don't want to take it, you know, on their responsibility. So they, you know, the woman is very fearful and, you know, forced into abortion that way. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges with this issue. But, you know.
Well, I appreciate, Kristen, that you're involved in the conversation, that you're representing, you know, part of the party. That I believe the voice needs to be heard on this if we're going to really address this issue, because, as I said, you know, even on the Republican side, if the truth be known, you know, there's still some confusion and misunderstanding about it. And I think that part of what stifles it is because we do not have everybody involved in the conversation. I long for the day when men are really involved in the conversation as well, because I think they've been extracted and you know, some translation in the process of that. Kristen Day has been our guest. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 18 before the top of the hour.
Had another dream last night about a poor wise man who changes the city.
When you feel alone.
We don't share the same life. We don't share anything.
You can leave. You choose.
And discover a life-changing friendship.
We have sought him.
On October 20th, a simple act of kindness can change everything.
Amazing how far a little 10, 11 chair can go.
Find love.
Our lives together will never be as beautiful.
Find hope.
My word, I was so different from other people. But what I found out was, everybody's different. Same kind of different as me.
Based on the incredible true story and best-selling book, Same Kind of Different as Me. Starring Academy Award nominee Greg Kinnear and Academy Award winner Renee Zellweger. Be in theaters October 20th. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. For tickets and showtimes, go to samekindofdifferentasmemovie.com.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
We'll be right back.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G-miracle.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temps from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code RADIO30 up to 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
They get away with it, did you?
Thank God, eventually the truth is revealed, but sometimes it can take a lot longer, and you may think that maybe that's just normal and people can get away with it, but this is what happens when good people just sit on the sidelines and not say anything. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Bob Olszewski joins us now, Director of Media and Culture. Robert, just as a sidebar deal, you know, you're in and around and, you know, the Hollywood vapor of it all, not there in Hollywood. I grew up in Southern California and worked in Los Angeles radio, so I was a little bit closer to it on a regular basis. And you see what's happening in Hollywood potentially, and hopefully there might be a draining of all this evil that has been running rampant for a number of years. And for the sake of those that would want to have a career in movie making as an actor, that maybe they might be able to have a fair shot at it and not have to deal with the evil that has been running rampant, almost unhinged, for a number of years.
You know, this Harvey Weinstein situation could certainly have that kind of positive effect. Watching what I see at this point is encouraging to me, because instead, I mean, it could have gone either way, really, when you think of who's in Hollywood and kind of running the show. And it could have been, oh, yeah, that's Hollywood. My goodness, boys will be boys. You know, yeah. Could have
and
been
they,
one of
well,
those
Well, they had that attitude. For many decades, it's just boys will be boys. It's okay. It's just part of the deal. You even had one, I think, several weeks ago. It was Leslie Stahl, I believe, on 60 Minutes interviewing a celebrated individual. And she picked no bones about it. She just said, yeah, I slept my way to the top. That's the way we did things. She had no regrets. She owned it. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, but I think about all the endless list. I mean, we're seeing the victim list just expanding, and now there's this hashtag Me Too. I think of them. I'm sad that there were named actors
that knew and said nothing. They just sat there and watched this happen. And now they're claiming some sort of moral high ground, and that galls me. I think the people that really deserve any kind of courage award or recognition, you probably would never know. These are the young girls that maybe are now working. They're lucky to be working at IHOP, maybe with some distant memory that they could have been a celebrated actor and actress, but that was shot down because they happened to run across, you know, the likes of Harvey Weinstein. And I say the likes because I don't think it ends with Harvey Weinstein.
Well, and that's the big point right there, because even though we're saying, okay, now finally people are coming and saying, you know, I was one of his victims, and boy, we all knew it. It's one of the best kept secrets in Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. You have to, as you said, he can't be the only one.
No.
And if he's not the only one, how come in the past week or so we haven't heard? And guess who else, you know?
Yes, right.
I suppose we heard a little bit about Ben Affleck after Ben pointed the finger at Harvey and said, you know, how disgusting it is. And somebody said, Ben, don't forget that that you assaulted me. And he's, oh, yeah, I guess I did. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, and we've known this for quite a while, I know at least for 20 years, where you've got stories of young boys that have been violated and mistreated. Hugh Hefner just passed away, and many of the incidences reportedly occurred at the Playboy Mansion. These young boys thinking, hey, I just want to be in a movie. Well, hey, come to Hugh Hefner. We're going to have come to the Playboy Mansion. We're going to have a party there, and little do they know what they've got themselves into, but a network of deviants that just, you know, end up tying them up and, you know, threatening, you know, their dignity and their reputation if they don't go along. And, you know, and you got, you know, many stories of these young men who, you know, later on end up committing suicide because they just cannot deal with it. So how many other time bombs like this are in and around the Hollywood experience because this deviousness was allowed to run rampant? And as you know, as they say, Bob, I mean, they kidded about this, and, you know, during the Oscars, and, you know, there were TV shows that mentioned, Harvey, and everybody knew that what they were referring to, and that was that, he was, you know, he was wearing out the casting couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we need to take another step in Hollywood, which is not only to say, you know, in real life this is wrong, but I hope it could translate, and I'm just not going to hold my breath till it does, but it would translate a little bit to, and when it's depicted on the screen and it's portrayed in such a way as it's portrayed to be cool or glamorous or boys will be boys attitude, if ever a movie does that, we condemn it too. Or better yet, we pledge to not make a movie that would do that. Now, that is probably the one area that no one in Hollywood's willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, surprisingly, it'll start with something like a news story, and then people will go, do you realize the movie we're about to greenlight has this exact same theme? Let's not do it. I don't think the culture's ready for it. And it'll be like, yes, it's not ready for it. We never would be ready for it.
Yeah. Well, Hollywood is not going to be sensitive to a moral compass. They've not been. I would hope for their very souls that something would take place in a dramatic nature that only God can do. And that would be more than wonderful on many, many levels. When you think about the talent and the resources available there, could you imagine the quality, family-friendly movies and entertainment that could come out if people thought in a holistic manner? Instead of celebrating, the people that have done damage to others in the name of Hollywood and in the name of celebrity.
Well, let's start with one of those that came out this past Friday, and then we'll go to some more positive news. And actually, this is positive news because of how badly it did at the box office. But number 14 on Box Office Mojo's list of the most popular movies over the weekend is a film called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. I was a little worried that having Wonder Woman in the title and our culture being so superhero-oriented that people would go and not realize what they were getting into. And for some reason, the film bombed. It didn't even make $1 million, made right. 737. It was on 1,230 screens.
Right.
It only made 600 per theater. And it's a total bomb. And just real quickly, without going into more detail, it's the story of the guy who wrote and came up with the character Wonder Woman. But it's about his personal and very perverted life. He was involved in a threesome. There was a lot of S&M involved in the relationship. And that's what this movie is about. And it's explicit, and it's a hard, hard R. And fortunately, one of the nice things for me with a put a smile on my face this morning was when I printed out my list of the most popular movies and I saw that that one had bombed. I was like, yes, it deserved a bomb.
You wonder how many people got their money back.
There definitely would have been people that still showed up and thought it was about, well, this is a Wonder Woman story,
Right.
Well, it's really not. And I hope they did. I hope they walked out and got their money, because that even sends a better message. But for some reason, whatever the reason was, people didn't go. And I hope it even dies a quick death and next weekend, even worse.
Right.
There is a film, though, that's probably worth talking about. This was brand new over the weekend because it has some possibilities. Mm-hmm. And it came in at number 11. It's the film Marshall. Now, this is about Thurgood Marshall. And when I heard, and I've known for some time, a year ago maybe, not probably that long, that there was a movie coming out about the life of Thurgood Marshall, I thought, well, there comes a movie I'm going to absolutely hate. And why did I think I was going to hate it? Because Thurgood Marshall, as most of our listeners probably know, was one of the most liberal Supreme Court justices ever.
First black justice.
He was.
In 1968.
In that 7-2 decision, Roe v. Wade, which has changed our lives forever, if you will, and made the unborn, preborn, so vulnerable, he voted in that 7 decision. So I knew already I have a little chip on my shoulder against the man, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to say that it doesn't deal with any of that part of Thurgood's life. Thurgood had some good things going for him. One of the things, when he was a young lawyer, he fought for people vigorously who were accused of being guilty that he thought were being who were innocent and were only being accused of being guilty because of the color of the skin. Right. And in 1941, a very wealthy socialite woman in Connecticut accused her African-American chauffeur of assaulting her. And Thurgood went into the jail and looked the man in the eye and said, "You look me in the eye and tell me, did you do this?" And the man said, "I didn't." And he said, "I'll take your case." And it's that slice of Thurgood's life. And I found it to be very inspiring, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was so much language in the film that we ended up giving it a 2.5. So it's not a big thumbs up because of language. But for some people, language isn't as big an issue as it is for others. So otherwise, it had a lot going for it.
Well, the postscript for Thurgood Marshall is you wonder, knowing what we know today, would he have been still part of that 7 and realizing that his vote was going to contribute to 40% of abortions today taking place in black America?
Yeah,
I think that would have broken his heart without a doubt. That was one of the movies that still is on my list to see as well. Bob Walaszewski, Focus on the Families, Director of Media and Culture. Thank you, Robert.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0.
800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.